I've tried every variety of diet under the sun. That includes going full vegan, being full carnivore, caveman keto, you know, no carb. And finally, OMAD, one meal a day. I have tried it all. I have experimented with all these different diets. Some were so extreme to play around with that you become antisocial. Some are a lot more easy. Some you feel like it's impossible to even stay the course. For me, keto, I think it is just impossible to just not eat carbs whatsoever. So you're constantly in the state of fear that, oh my God, I'm gonna eat a carb, I'm gonna have a piece of bread, and then I'm out of the ketogenic state. All keto means is you're burning fat for fuel instead of sugar in your bloodstream. So that's why they sort of espouse that you're gonna lose a lot of fat. But for me, keto didn't work at all. I was constantly in a bad mood. I constantly felt like I was starving, and my muscle mass started to decrease. So I've tried all these diets. I'm gonna share which one later in the video that I chose and am still following to this day. All right, Really Rich Fitness. I'm wearing my my tightly fit shirt here under my blazer, especially for the show. We're going to talk about entrepreneur health. So the health of somebody who is going to be sitting at a desk a lot, the health of someone that is not picking up cars and dragging tires across the ground. This is for the person that is tied to a desk and they still want to be fit. They still want to have their wits about them. They don't want to crumble and fall apart, which is what you will do if you sit at a desk long enough. Of course, this episode is brought to you by the Entrepreneur's Field Guide book and digital course. Check it out at nicholascrown.com. This is one of the most amazing things that I've put together, 3 months of work. If you're interested in getting started on your business, you got to check it out. Okay, why did I make this video? I don't think I ever thought I'd make a fitness video because, well, I'm fit, but I'm not really a personal trainer. I'm definitely not a doctor. But I figured a few things out that worked for me, and I thought they might work for you. So here's a little before and after, not a true before and after when I was in my 20s versus my 30s. This is a before and after of getting things dialed in right. So diet plus the exercise, really no supplementation to speak of other than a little protein powder. And let me tell you, this is a huge difference. As you can see in the first picture, a lot of fat in my midsection. Second picture, and by the way, these pictures are only 3 months apart. A lot of that fat has gone, more muscle definition. Oh, and the difference is I'm not eating more in the second picture. I haven't changed my diet. I'm actually eating less. So I wanted to show you what is possible in a really short period of time. As you guys know, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm creating content all day. I am sitting at a desk 90% of the time if I'm not running to get some coffee, you know, running to meet a friend or take a meeting. I am stuck to my desk most of the day, and I'm still managing to take my health seriously. So I want to share my story about health and my disqualifications around why, you know, I'm not a professional. I'm not a bodybuilder. I am definitely not a doctor. This is my story, my personal story, and I really hope you can pick up some details from here because it has worked for me. Okay, so when I was 23, I suffered a major panic attack on the trading floor. I walked into work one day, had a bunch of coffee, had slept like crap the night before, and effectively, I felt like I was sinking through the floor. It was probably the worst feeling I'd ever felt in my entire life. I had no idea what to do. So, like any good 23-year-old, I called my doctor in secret and said, I felt like I was Super Mario going into the little pipe in the video game, like the Deku 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 pipe. And he said, well, Nick, how much physical activity are you doing? And I said, well, I walk home and then I fall face first on my bed at 5:30 every morning. So every evening, so very little. And he said, well, the amount of adrenaline that's running through your body in your job, the amount of stress that you're undergoing, if you're not pushing and taking care of your body, you're going to die. You're going to have a heart attack and you're going to die from the stress, whether it's next week or a few years from now. I took that advice pretty seriously, and I started hitting the gym 3 to 4 days a week. There was an office in my building. I just started going there after work. A little background about me. I basically went from rowing crew at Cornell, rowed lightweight crew for a year and a half, and then, you know, but I felt like partying was a far better priority for me. I went from rowing to basically passing out face first at 5:30 or 6:30 PM because I was just so exhausted. So going from physical activity in college to basically nothing, according to my doctor, who's a very sound doctor, he said that was extremely dangerous. Now, you might be doing the same thing. So listen up. Here's how I changed my body. Here is how I changed my mental state. I lost immediately a ton of fat from this initial exercise routine that I found myself doing. I went from that skinny fat, you know, I was always kind of thin, but I had the belly, to developing more muscle, and it happened really fast. Most importantly, my panic attacks completely disappeared. I never had another panic attack. So looking great is awesome, but your mental state, I think, is even more important. So that was something that it completely changed. And today, I'm in the best shape of my life, and I'm 37, so this process has to be paying off in the long run. I've gotten better. I haven't gotten worse. So I'm going to show you my way of eating. I'm going to show you my way of training. Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical professional. So please do your research before starting any training program that might not work for you. If you guys are familiar with the Field Guide, I talk about iteration. It's trying lots of different things until a solution works. I've tried every which way in terms of dieting. I've tried every variety of diet under the sun. That includes going full vegan, being a full carnivore, caveman keto, you know, no carb. And finally, OMAD, one meal a day. I have tried it all. I have experimented with all these different diets. Some were so extreme to play around with that you become antisocial. Some are a lot more easy. Some you feel like it's impossible to even stay the course. For me, keto, I think it is just impossible to just not eat carbs whatsoever. So you're constantly in the state of fear that, oh my God, I'm gonna eat a carb and I'm gonna have a piece of bread, and then I'm out of the ketogenic state. All keto means is you're burning fat for fuel instead of sugar in your bloodstream. So that's why they sort of espouse that you're gonna lose a lot of fat. But for me, keto didn't work at all. I was constantly in a bad mood. I constantly felt like I was starving, and my muscle mass started to decrease. So I've tried all these diets. I'm gonna share which one later in the video that I chose and am still following to this day. And also, I've trained every combination of ways. So cross-training, CrossFit, high-intensity training, 5 to 6 day crazy overtraining frequencies, and something in the middle. I've tried the 4 day split, the Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, taking weekends off. And now, finally, I've arrived at the 3 day heavy-duty Mike Mentzer split. I mean, this is like super old school and also extremely manageable for most people because it's 3 days a week. I can give 3 days a week to a hardcore workout and give it my all. I save all that extra time. I get a lot more rest in. And guess what? I'm getting more results. So I'm going to go through that as well. And, you know, this is about staying fit for business, right? This isn't about being a professional bodybuilder. This isn't about becoming someone who's playing professional sports. This is for someone who wants to stay fit and function at a high level. I'm of the opinion that you need to be fit to do so. Otherwise, you're dealing with mental malaise. You're dealing with soreness. You're dealing with lower back problem if your posture sucks, which mine does right now. I'm realizing something I still have to work on. It's easier than you think to be putting yourself into this program and sticking with it. It's just because you don't have a model to work with. And again, before I had my panic attack on Wall Street when I was 23, I didn't have any model to work off of. So you're either overdoing it or you're underdoing it. This is a bullet point that I want to make because I have either been overdoing it or underdoing it. In my early 20s, I was underdoing it. I wasn't training nearly enough or really at all at that point. And then in my late 20s, I was overdoing it, training 5, 6 days a week, too many reps, too much weight, not giving myself enough time to recover. And all that did was cause headaches. And then as we move through time, I don't know why, but I think the culture of just expensive training, the frequency of training, getting fancy equipment, all of this stuff has just created a lot of pressure about how to stay fit. And it's pushed everyone in the wrong direction. I think everyone is either doing too little or they're doing way too much. The sweet spot is definitely somewhere in between. And it's definitely something that even the most busy people on planet Earth can manage. If I can manage it, you can manage it. So why should you care about this topic? Getting this wrong can cost you dearly because, you know, this is your life. You are shortening your life if you are not training your body, if you're not putting your muscles to work. Extreme stress is a serious health risk. Really, you're putting pressure on your cardiovascular system. You know, your energy and fitness levels will determine your ability to perform in your life, okay, in business, in your relationship. So this is no joke. Beyond just the physical reality, your heart pumping blood, fitness also impacts your optimism. So I find that when I'm not training, I'm in a way lower mental state, mental vibration, if you will. And when I'm training, I feel more optimistic. I feel more equipped to take on the day and to crush it, okay? The fitter I am, the more money I make. This is 100% true because I'm able to show up with stamina every single day. I have mental clarity to perform, to be on meetings, to switch tasks from something creative to perhaps something very analytical. This is just, the fitter I am, the more energy I seem to have to perform these tasks. In fact, I'm filming this podcast after I have already worked a full day, and I'm almost shocked that I'm able to do this. Usually I have to sort of have a really fresh, clear start early in the day to film this, and I don't know, I just feel pretty good. So maybe this stuff is working that I'm doing. I want to point out, the earlier that you figure your plan out, the better. Get it in early, in your early 20s. Get it in while you're still in college. I knew people when I was at Cornell that were still like maintaining this like really high school, hardcore high school training regimen and diet. I wish that was me in college, so I had to figure it out a bit later. Basically, you just need a plan and you need to make sure that it's working. Once you have this plan and you know it's working, it's about putting in the reps and then it becomes habitual. So master it and you're set for life is what I say. Really, there's no day where I don't think about this, where I don't go to the gym on Monday or Wednesday or Friday. It just becomes fully automatic. It becomes habitual. I don't even consider deviating from this plan. I know it works, so I stick with it. I don't deviate from it even when I go on vacation. I do my best to travel where there's easy access to a gym. I do my best to eat properly in the best way that I can. I don't mean count calories or be obsessive. That's something that I do not do, and I'm going to explain why. But I do take this seriously every single day that I'm training, every single day that I'm dieting. And I say dieting, I mean every day that I'm putting food into my mouth. I try my best to put good quality food into my mouth. All right, here's the episode breakdown. First, in the intro, a little bit of extended intro. I think we've kind of done a little bit of the intro. We're going to talk about the definitions and concepts that you need to know to just sort of get through this podcast in a smooth fashion. Section one, I'm going to talk about my diet. I'm going to pose the question back to you, what works for you, when I talk about what works for me. I'm going to discuss calories and macros. Don't worry, I'm not counting calories. I'm going to talk about how I'm using fasting to my advantage to lose weight and also maintain muscle and feel pretty good. Section two, I'm going to move into my training regimen, how I make it convenient, how you might make it convenient. I'm going to talk about how many days I train and throw this question back at you. Talk about how hard I train and throw this question back at you. Section three, we're going to talk recovery, how I recover, how I prioritize rest, why I prioritize rest. And it might make you ask yourself, are you forgetting to rest? You might be. And finally, we're going to wrap up with supplementation. Nothing you can't get off of, off of online, nothing too fancy, nothing expensive here. And this is just stuff that can help, things that I use specifically with fasting to make sure there's no muscle breakdown unnecessarily. Anyway, that's the episode breakdown. And I like to start with definitions, okay? What is fitness? I don't think there is such thing as fitness. I don't think there is an overarching definition of fitness. I like to ask myself, how do I feel? How do I want to feel? How do I look? How do I want to look? And then I go and hit those goals with a solid plan. So for some folks, this might be, how do you get through your day in one piece? Okay, can you stand up? Can you sit down? Can you maintain posture in your chair, right? So this differs from person to person. I think the word fitness is just one of the strangest words out there right now. Also, does it mean cardiovascular fitness? Does it mean muscular health? Does it mean just the way you look and the way that you feel confident in your clothes, whatever it is? I think you have to make your own definition for fitness. There is definitely no one-size-fits-all approach here. And for me, I have been building that definition and then sticking with it for quite some time now. So I want you to go out and build your own definition. And that's what you can start working towards. Fitness, you can't buy it yet. I know there's some new technology, new medication on the market that I'm not going to mention that I know people are using. However, so far, you still have to put in the work, meaning you got to go to the gym. You can't just buy a pill, magic pill, and you have an exercise simulation in your body. Trainers and programs can definitely help, but you still need to show up. So a lot of folks that haven't built any kind of ritual regimen, they say, oh, I'm gonna get a trainer. The trouble is you haven't yet built that routine. So even going to the trainer can be challenging sometimes, even though trainers are excellent in showing you proper form and making sure you're getting the most out of your workout. You still need to show up. Fancy gyms work just as well as inner city boxing gyms. Shout out Brooklyn, because I worked out in an inner city gym called Frenchie's in Brooklyn. Let me tell you, this thing was not fancy, but it was effective. So it doesn't matter where you work out, you're not going to get more fit working out at the fancy gym versus the boxing gym where the weight is just a little bit rusted, has that little bit of, you know, old school patina on it. It doesn't matter as long as you're in the gym. Okay, those are all the definitions we need. Anything else we're going to cover? Section one, diet, because diet is so important. You can go to the gym as much as you want, and if you're eating improperly, if you're not eating enough, if you're eating junk, it's just not going to pay off. So don't you want to get the maximum benefit from your workout? You're in there sweating, screaming, cursing to yourself. You might as well get the maximum benefit. So before Googling what's trendy, ask yourself, what would be the easiest diet for you to follow? Now, I'm going to tell you about my strategy, okay? You do not have to copy it, but you are welcome to try it on for size. I personally don't care for breakfast or lunch during work days. I mean, these, if anything, when I wake up in the morning and I train, I'm immediately trying to get on my desk as quickly as possible to get to work. That's me. So breakfast, lunch, who cares? These aren't meals that I'm really savoring and enjoying. So they've always been utility meals for me. From when I was on Wall Street until right about today, they're still utilities for me. So I'm working during breakfast or lunch. So I opt for time savings, frequency of eating. I have wrestled with this, trying to eat five times a day. It is impossible for me to eat five times a day. And in fact, eating less, I've realized that I've been able to lose fat, maintain muscle, spend less money, spend less time. And the best part about one meal a day, spoiler alert, this is the diet that I'm on, is it's extremely social, because when you do approach that one meal a day, it's fun. It's dinner. Eat whatever you want. You don't have to worry about calorie counting. You don't have to worry about hitting macros. Eat a very well-balanced meal and you're good to go. A lot less to think about. So a couple things about OMAD, or one meal a day, is caloric restriction. So turns out it's really hard to eat a lot of calories all at once. So during OMAD, you're going to lose fat because you're going to eat less calories than you were eating before automatically. You know, it is totally on autopilot. OMAD also has anti-aging properties. There's new studies showing that, hey, this starts to reduce the effects of aging and lengthen your telomeres and all these other things that I don't understand, but it sounds good. I look good and healthy. Unlike when I was vegan, I looked like crap. For whatever reason, it just didn't agree with my body. So I look great with this one meal a day, eating a balanced meal. Told you it saves time. And for me, it is the most social diet out there. I know you're going to say, Nick, that sounds crazy. But you get to eat whatever you want once a day. I choose dinner. I want to be social. So I get to go out to eat. I get to eat whatever I want, and within a reason. And to me, that's just a heck of a lot more fun, right? So I can focus during the day. I don't need those meal breaks. I can take breaks to walk around, of course, have a coffee. On OMAD, you're allowed to have coffee, water, just nothing with calories until that one meal. Piece of cake. Super simple. So do you feel hungry with OMAD? I feel a little hungry throughout the day, but it's not enough to distract me from what I'm working on. It's not enough to totally derail my project. In fact, it even gives me a little bit of a clarity and a little bit of push to get through the rest of the day. So I'm a big OMAD fan. I've seen absolutely no negative side effects. I know some people have. I feel great. So it's a diet that I've dialed in and I'm sticking with. So what I suggest here is take a look at shortlist your two favorite diets. You know, maybe it's OMAD, maybe it's something like smaller meals more frequently, and then test them for compliance and results. What I mean is try the diets on for size and see which one you actually stick with, because I know I've tried all these other diets and some of them are just impossible for me personally to stick with. So, you know, audition your diets, take them for a test drive and see which one works for you. I also suggest taking before and after pictures. This helps to see if something's actually working. A lot of the time you're following the diet religiously and it's the trendy diet and you just think, well, it must be working. And then you look in the mirror and you look like crap. You picked up a few extra pounds of fat. This happened to me. I was following this diet, carnivore diet, frequently eating throughout the day, and I looked like crap. Okay, but the before and after pictures don't lie. So use these things as a motivational tool, but also use them to make sure the diet's doing something, right? If you want to cut fat and you're not cutting fat, well, you got to pick another diet or something's going wrong in the process. You can isolate it. You can fix it. Calorie counting is a recipe for failure. I know there's guys out there and girls out there that are calorie counting. It just does not work for me. Calorie counting is a headache. You need an app to do it. This is just a recipe for failure. Also, you'll find yourself in these ridiculous situations where you are making up calories at the last minute with the wrong types of food. To me, it causes nothing but headache. It also suggests that the body is just this perfect machine where if you're missing those 10 calories or you have too many, that everything has been derailed. I think it's just pretty defeatist, and I haven't seen it work for me in practice. Macros. So macros just means macronutrients. Really, the people suggest different balances here. 30-30-40 is pretty standard, meaning 30% protein, 30% fat, and 40% carbs. Yeah, seems like a lot of carbs, but we're going to get there in this part of the video. You need carbs if you're training hard. All those keto guys, all those keto gals, I don't know how you do it without carbs. God bless. For me, I need carbs at my mealtime to feel good and to feel healthy and to feel recovering after a heavy workout. So carbs for me, we love carbs here at the Really Rich Podcast. We love carbs. Here's my cheat code. I don't want to worry about protein, but I know I need a lot of it. So I take 40 grams of protein in a shake at dinner, and then I just prioritize eating meat that's high in protein. So steak or chicken, right? It's as simple as that for me. So the protein shake takes out of the question of being deficient in protein. That's something that a lot of folks who are on the one meal a day diet worry about. You get 40 grams in the shake. You get another 40, 50, 60 grams with the meat or the fish. You're good to go, okay? A lot of studies are showing that you don't need nearly as much protein as we used to think, at least from the old school bodybuilding videos that maybe you've seen and maybe I watch here and there for fun. Who doesn't love the old school pump and iron Schwarzenegger videos? All right, a quick moment from our sponsor, the Entrepreneur's Field Guide Digital Course. My baby, what a wonderful thing. This is taking the entire method of learning about the unknown, uncharted territory of building your first business and putting it into a beautiful five-hour course, 5 hours. So it's a week course. You do an hour a day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's an incredible course, an incredible value. Check it out at nicholascrown.com. All right, section two, training. You can't be fit without training. Training. I am one of the most disciplined people on the planet. If you haven't imagined from all the wonderful content that I'm putting out, but let me tell you, if the gym isn't easy to get to or the path, okay, to training in the morning is challenging, I will falter, okay? I will look like a couch potato. And most people find themselves in a situation where getting the gym is a complete pain in the ass. So I've recognized this in myself years ago. And what I've done is I made a promise. I said, Nick, the gym is going to be so darn easy for you no matter where you live, no matter where you travel. So I've taken this to an extreme. I built a home gym. And you might say, well, that sounds awfully fancy, Nick. It is pretty fancy. However, it costs far less than I imagine when I went to actually go out and build and, you know, add to cart my home gym. And it's comparable to the fancy gym prices that I would pay anyway if you amortize it, if you just spread it out over a year. So I went for the home gym route. I'm in Chicago in the wintertime. Lord knows I don't want to be walking to the gym. So what better place to have it than right here? So before I built my home gym, I would only live near a gym or choose a building with a gym in it so I didn't have to travel long distance to get there. So I know this sounds crazy, but I don't live anywhere that's far from a gym. In fact, even when I travel, I make this decision. I stay at a hotel that I know has a great gym. I stay in a neighborhood that I know has a neighborhood gym. This is an absolute mandatory part of me traveling. I do my research in advance to a comical degree. You're like, Nick, you can't just go, go down to Mexico and not worry about the gym. No, we're going to places where I know there's a gym because this just is how I roll. I've chosen to make decisions around health. It is what it is. It's the deal I've made, and I'm going to follow it. So the rule here, I call it the 15-minute rule. If getting to the gym takes longer than 15 minutes, you probably won't go. So you've got some options here. You can do what I did, build a home gym. Trust me, you can do it on budget. Or you just live near a gym. But guess what? You got to go to the gym. So you got to figure it out. Also, when you travel, this is where people get derailed. I hear there's a statistic where something like you gain 50. I think every cruise goer, there's like Carnival Cruise or Norwegian Cruise ran a study. And it's like, if every cruise goer gains 15 pounds on vacation, don't let that be you. Don't come home feeling like you have to go and lose weight. Man, that sucks. That's no way to look back on a vacation with a fond eye. You want to come home feeling great and well-rested. I think training helps a lot. So most people are overtraining. I can't state this enough. Just look at the guy that you see every single time in the gym. He's been there every single day for a year, and he looks the same as he did last year. So if someone is not making progress in the gym, it means that they're doing something wrong. But you see them every day, so it's not that they're not training. It's that they're overtraining. They're continually breaking down the muscle. The muscle has no time to recover. And so they end up just kind of looking the same. And really what they're doing is just wearing out their body. They're causing a lot of stress and damage to their body. So be careful with this. Monitor, make sure you're making progress, and pick a program you can handle. So I give you two options here. I'll tell you what I've chosen and what I have done in the past as well that I think now is starting to look a little bit like overtraining. So I use a 3 times per week program, meaning 3 workouts per week, a push, meaning a chest and tricep exercise, a pull day, which is a back and a bicep day, and a legs day. So a day that is wholly dedicated to the lovely body part, that is the legs. Previously, I did a 4 times per week split. This was a little bit of a funnier split. Chest, bicep, back, tricep, legs, and then shoulder, calf. So you can see here, I'm actually working out muscles 2 times per week, whereas in the, because a chest exercise is also working out your triceps, keep in mind, a back exercise is also working out your biceps. So in the 4 times per week, I was actually working out each muscle group twice. I am now only doing it once, and I feel good. I've got tons of energy. I look good. So 3 times, why do 4 if 3 times works? The idea is to get the minimal time input with the maximal effort. So the way that I do this beyond just the days of the week is I train very, very heavy because I'm trying to get near that muscular failure close. Sometimes I do get there if I don't have a training partner. Depends on the exercise. You don't want to have a full failure on a bench press, of course. You want to be safe here, but I train as heavy as possible. This gives me the most amount of results in the shortest period of time. There has to be a section on recovery, because if you are in the gym busting your ass every single day and you are not treating recovery right, you won't grow muscle, plain and simple. If you're not taking recovery seriously, you won't grow muscle, okay? Believe it. Trust me. I've spent years overtraining. I've spent years diligently dieting. And again, not gaining muscle, actually gaining fat. Your body just sort of hangs on to fat when it's in an overtrained state. Certainly for me, if we remember back to the picture from the beginning of the presentation, that's me training a lot. And there was all this extra fat deposited around my stomach because I was training too darn much. So it took me until my 30s to figure this out. I swear, I wish I figured this out earlier, but I didn't. So I was basically breaking down muscle, and never giving it time to fully recover. So your muscles need to break down during training, but they need to recover. They need to heal themselves. Basically, when you're training, you're creating micro tears in your muscles, and you need those tears to recover in order for them to grow and get bigger, okay? I have a way better Schwarzenegger impression than that. It just didn't come out the right way. I want to define recovery, because it's not just, you know, taking it easy. It's minimizing your daily stress. So if you are constantly stressed throughout your day, you are going to spike your cortisol levels. This is a huge hormone for just promoting a lot of fat around the midsection, and your muscles are not going to recover. With cortisol spikes, recovery is not overtraining the muscle. That means breaking down, and not fully recovering, fully healing from those micro tears. Recovery is, yes, getting high quality sleep, getting plenty of rest. And finally, it is staying hydrated, drinking a ton of water, and eating right. So recovery is a lot of things. And if you're not prioritizing recovery, then you won't grow muscle. I have experienced this when my workload is too high, I'm under too much stress. It's unbelievable when you look in the mirror how you can see your body start to change in the wrong direction. So recovery is critical, and pay attention to your stress. If you're doing all this hard work and you're under so much stress, your body is just going to be hanging on to fat and not rebuilding muscle. It's just this sad phenomenon of stress. I also feel inclined to train whenever I have free time. I'm crazy, I guess. I feel like taking a run when I've got an hour. I feel like going to the gym when I've got a little extra time in the morning. Avoid this inclination to pack in more training on recovery days. Actually recover. So if you want to stretch, if you want to do something low impact, that's great. But if you're going to train on the days that you're resting, well, guess what? You're not resting. So I'm extremely careful with my cardio on top of my weight training. So again, you have a free day here and there. A lot of people think running is active recovery, but you have to be really careful that you're not using cardio to just undo all the hard work that you did in the gym. So for me, when I've been marathon training, when I've done some longer distance runs, I've found that my immune system was weakening. I've obviously developed a ton of joint pain during these periods of time. And then I've had muscle pain and weakness that would go beyond what it would if I was just training. So I'm really careful not to undo all the hard work that I'm doing in the gym with cardio. Of course, just heavy weight training in itself is strengthening the cardiovascular system. So you're getting all of the benefits, and that's just kind of how I roll. I run a lot less these days than I used to because I feel a lot better the less I run. So a little jog here and there is kind of what you'll catch me doing, but I guess my running days are behind me. Although the Chicago Marathon, I did the Chicago Half Marathon, and I kind of feel like I need to do the full marathon. So we'll see about that one. But I would be accepting definitely a lot of wear and tear on my body. Certainly marathon runners know this. You don't go back to back, unless you're crazy like David Goggins. You need to take a break in between to let your body heal. And even your hormonal state, your body needs to heal after a marathon. So be careful when you're mixing cardio and weight training. For me, it's had an effect of just undoing a lot of the hard work that I put in. All right, finally, supplementation. Don't get too excited. This is so basic, guys. I've had success with creatine HCL, which is hydrochloride. It's basically like creatine monohydrate, but it's attached to an extra hydrogen molecule. I don't know, chemists, can you tell me what creatine HCL is? Basically, is really sour, but it absorbs in the muscles a lot faster, and you can take a lot less of it. This helps with the recovery. Also, it gives you a little bit of a pump. Okay, so there's an aesthetic feature to the creatine HCL that I enjoy. I also have to be careful. Sometimes my creatine levels get a little too high, and my doctor calls me up and tells me to take it easy. BCAAs, these are amino acids. This is particularly helpful if you are doing one meal a day and you're fasting. This counteracts a lot of the muscle wasting effects that can happen during fasting. I have not noticed anything. In fact, I've held on to all of my muscle from fasting. Maybe I've gotten a little bit leaner from losing water weight or fat, but I take BCAAs. It's just a precaution, just to make sure I'm getting those amino acids in the morning without any calories. And finally, clean protein. So clean protein, like isopure protein that is just protein. Okay, so no sweeteners, no add-ons. I want to just be eating protein when I'm supplementing, and I'll use fruit and I'll use something like dextrose to sweeten it. Okay, dextrose is just pure glucose, so it goes right into your bloodstream. Your liver doesn't have to digest it. And that's how I make my protein shakes. So to wrap it up, you got to pay attention to your diet. Ask yourself what's going to work for you and stick to it. For me, that's one meal a day. It just seems so social. It's a little counterintuitive. You're eating one meal a day. How social could that be? But that meal gets to be dinner, and I get to have that with friends and family. So that's what I went with. When it comes to training, I train 3 times a week. I use that Mike Mentzer old school push-pull legs workout where I'm training super heavy, but for a really short period of time. so I can get back to work. I can get back to having fun. I get back to making cool videos for you guys, right? That's what I've chosen in the gym. Figure out what's going to work for you. Obviously, consult your doctor if you're about to start a heavyweight training program for the first time. Supplementation, I just make sure I'm getting an extra protein. I use creatine here and there for recovery, and I eat some Alminos, okay? You can take it in a pill. You can mix it into your water. I take some Alminos in the morning to stop any of the muscle wasting effects that could happen. It's probably just a precaution with fasting, which is what I'm doing 24 hours a day because I'm eating really just 1 hour a day. So always more to learn at nicholascrown.com. Of course, you've got the Entrepreneur's Field Guide, and you've got the Entrepreneur's Field Guide guided course, the 5-hour course that's going to show you how to think like an entrepreneur, perhaps for the first time, or maybe dust up your skills or put some models onto things that you're already doing, and now you're just going to understand it in super clear fashion. I hope you enjoyed this fitness video. Not my usual cup of tea, but hey, I saw a lot of people asking for something like this, so we did it. If you got value out of this video, don't forget to click like and subscribe, and I'll see you soon.